Grab your Bibles and open them to Mark chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to look in front of one of the chairs in front of you. There should be a Bible there, but I'd really love for you to be able to read the text as we're walking through it. It'll help you to see that we're not making this up. Exactly everything that we talk about is directly from the Word. About a month ago, I told you that I spoke in a couple of Bible college chapels in the States. And when I did that, I gave them a little warm-up by telling them that, you know, sometimes when we're listening to a message, it becomes so easy to assign that message to other people, all the other people who need to hear that message, right? So what I did, I'm going to ask you to do this. I'd ask you, pick one of your neighbors, all right? Go ahead and do that. And I want you to repeat this after me. I want you to say this to one of your neighbors, okay? Everybody pick a neighbor, and I want you to say this. This message is for me. I will not use it against you. All right, that's very good. All right, now, I want you to pick your second favorite neighbor. They're not offended at all that you didn't pick them first, all right? And then I want you to repeat after me. This message is for me. But you need it more. Very good. All right, with that, Mark chapter 10 this morning. Have you ever wished that you could just start over? I want to read you a letter. It's not an actual letter, but it is a compilation of some emails and notes that I've received over the last few years. I'm not reading an actual letter because I don't want anybody to be afraid that if you send me a note, I'm going to read it in front of the rest of the church. So it's not an actual letter, but pieces of this are parts of, actually all of it together are parts of some messages I've received. I'm so thankful that God brought me to Harvest. For the first time in my life, I feel like I'm growing spiritually, and it feels good. My big regret is that I didn't do these things sooner. I wasted so many years doing other things and neglecting my relationship with God. I can now see how I could have avoided a lot of problems and a lot of pain and a lot of worry if I'd done what I'm doing now. I kind of wish that I could rewind the tape and start my life over. The problem is that you can't rewind the tape. It's behind you. You can't go back. And the truth is that God's going to use the pieces of your life, even the hard ones, for your good. I talk about this a lot. It's my favorite word in the Bible. It's the word redemption. God has a way of taking even the very difficult parts of our life and using them for his glory and for our good. I love the idea that God redeems even our mistakes. But we can't go back. You can't do it over. You can't rewind the tape. But what I want to tell you this morning is that you can start over. In fact, our God is a God of fresh starts. We're going to be talking about walking and living by faith. In fact, the title is Essential Lessons from a Blind Man Who Saw Jesus. And in fact, we're going to look at two specific kinds of people this morning that these are going to apply to. First, those that would say, I really need a fresh start. And then second, to those who'd say, I really want to live a life of faith. If you fit either of those categories, I'm confident that the story that we're going to read this morning, right from God's word, is going to have some practical help for you. I want to begin reading Mark chapter 10, verse 46. The Bible says this. And they came to Jericho, and he went out with a great number of people. And blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. You should know as we read this story that to be blind in the Jesus day meant a lot of bad things. Almost certainly, you wouldn't be able to read or write. You'd have a very difficult time with any type of job that you could make. And so in order to survive, this man's story would have been repeated by most people in his condition. They would have been trying to survive and get the next day's food by sitting in some type of an intersection crossway, begging, asking people to help them. In fact, this man, most likely, he would have had to have somebody lead him there, set him down, wait there as he waited on the compassion of those that maybe could help him. Maybe he might fumble his way there, but somehow this is kind of the life. You can be sure that a person who experienced blindness in Jesus' day was experiencing a pretty miserable life. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto you?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I told you we're going to be talking about making a fresh start, about walking and living by faith. And I want to study this in two directions. First, we're going to talk about lessons we learn about Jesus. Anytime we open up the scriptures, we want to know more about him. And then second, I want to talk about some lessons we learn about faith. So if you'll follow along, track with me, I'm going to talk about these two things. Lessons about Jesus, three of them right out of this text. Here they go. Number one, Jesus stops for the one. Look at verse 46. Jericho was just a quick stop. In fact, we're not even told why they stopped there, but we do know that they're on their way to Jerusalem. You can look down at the beginning of chapter 11, verse 1, it tells us that. And they're stopping, they're heading to Jerusalem for the last time. In fact, I think this is very interesting. If you have any familiarity with like a timeline of the events of Jesus' life, his parables, the story about them, this story is placed right as Jesus was heading to Jerusalem in order to go to the triumphal entry. That's what we celebrate on Palm Sunday. Jesus comes on the donkey, remember, and they throw the palms in the way and they say, "Hosanna, blessed is the King." That's what's coming up. That's the next Sunday. And that Sunday, of course, Palm Sunday is then followed by the Passion Week and the crucifixion, ultimately the resurrection. All of that is right on the horizon. Jesus is traveling. He stops in Jericho. We don't really know why. And then he's going to go on. And all of these things are in his mind. He knows what's coming ahead. Can you imagine all of the drama and the emotion and the intensity that's going on in Jesus' mind as his friends, his family, they're traveling together, and he knows this is the last time they're going to make this journey. And yet, with all of those things going on, Jesus stops everything for a blind beggar calling out from the roadside. He stops everything for a panhandler, someone carrying a sign, standing at the intersection that says, "Can you help? I'm hungry. Just need a little money for food for today." What we know about Jesus is that no one is too small or inconvenient for his attention. Really talked about this a little bit last week. Actually, the passage we looked at last week is earlier in Mark chapter 10, where Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. But if I can make it more personal this morning by saying that no matter who you are, whether you feel like you're a nobody or you think you're somebody, if there is anything that these encounters with Jesus that we've been looking at through this whole fall period, if there's anything that these things teach us, is that Jesus has time for you. If you're just coming to your faith, I want you to know that God is not too busy to meet you and to help you. And if you have been a Christian for a long time, but life has been hard for you, and right now you just feel like you're on your own, I want you to know that Jesus stops everything for the one who will call out in faith to him. He doesn't just keep going about his busy tasks. Jesus stops for the one. And I hope that you'll hear him stopping for you even this morning. Number two, Jesus responds to faith and not status. Bartimaeus was a blind beggar. He was marginalized, poor, blind, and obnoxiously loud, evidently, from this story. But Jesus honors his persistent, believing cry. Verse 46 said that there was a great number of people in this crowd with Jesus. Other passages describe this as a multitude of people passing by. And in the middle of this multitude of people, Bartimaeus finds out that this is Jesus in the middle of it. He didn't really know. He couldn't see what was happening. This is Jesus in the middle of it. And so he cries out, verse 47. And verse 48 says that everybody charges him, rebukes him, and knock it off. Be quiet. Nobody wants to hear from you. And instead of Bartimaeus kind of slinking back in the rejection of the crowd, verse 48 says, but he cried out all the more. And what Jesus says down in verse 52, he says, this is faith. This is faith. He's around island. He didn't stop for him because he was a beggar either, or even that he was blind, or even that he was loud. It wasn't just because he was so obnoxiously loud. But Jesus says he stopped because of his faith. This guy really believed that Jesus was what he needed, and that kind of faith stops Jesus. True faith is what gets God's attention, and he truly believed that Jesus was what he needed. And listen, if you think that or believe that anything else is the answer to your needs, then you don't have faith. Number three, Jesus gives more than sight. He gives a new direction. I mean, the story, we'll talk about this in a minute, but verse 52, the story ends with Bartimaeus following Jesus on the way. Right? He was in the crowd that went to Jerusalem. He was in the crowd that tossed palm branches in his way. Most likely, he was in the crowds leading up ultimately to the crucifixion. Right? Jesus is not really interested in necessarily only solving your temporal problems. He wants to provide a new life, a new way. And hang on to that idea. We'll talk about it in a minute. But I want you to know that his healing led to discipleship. This is the story. So those are lessons about Jesus. Let me tell you some lessons about faith. I think we got five. Bartimaeus. He's the kind of guy that says, I'm not going to miss this one. Jesus is coming by, and I'm not missing this opportunity. I read one commentator who said, when Bartimaeus got up that morning, he had no idea that Jesus Christ was going to be passing by him. As best as he knew, it was just another ordinary day. Same place, same thing, same begging, same miserable, lonely, pitiful lifestyle. So he had no time to prepare for Jesus. He had no time to plan for Jesus. It was just an opportunity that was dropped in his lap, and he had to seize the moment. You know, it seems to me that this is one of the major hurdles in many people's spiritual life, and for sure in their spiritual growth. And it's this: for a lot of us, it's really hard for us to take that first faith step. Whether that's the first step of becoming a follower of Jesus, I know that that's hard. There's a lot at stake there. Or even when you're already a Christian and God is calling out to you to take a faith step, anything that's branching out from what we're used to and what we're comfortable is hard. And it makes sense because there's a lot of doubt and fear and uncertainty. You don't know where that road is going. You don't know what it's going to mean. And so, you know, you want to get serious about your spiritual life. You got some questions, and you know that you're unfulfilled. There is this empty spot in your life that no matter what else you've done and whatever things you've tried, it never completely fills that. Even a lot of good things in your life, it doesn't fill that empty spot. So you know there's something more. Maybe you've even been miserable about it, but you just don't do anything about it. And let me tell you this morning, if you'll let me step in and diagnose the situation, the issue at stake, according to this text, is that you have a faith problem. Right? So maybe even now this morning, maybe God is talking to you. You're like, man, it's like nailing me, you know, right today. This is like my story. God's talking to you this morning. And yet you've been battling this. Man, I know this is the next step. But I don't know where this leads. I don't know what the questions are. I've got some doubts about it. Here's why I'm so glad that you're here today. Why this is so important. Because the Bible warns us over and over about the danger of assuming that you have time to do this later. That you have tomorrow to take care of this. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says this: boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know what's happening tomorrow. You don't even know if you have tomorrow. Over in James chapter 4, 13 says, go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and we'll continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. This is a pretty common way of life. I mean, this is what we do. Hey, I'm going to move here. We're going to do these things. This is, you know, we're going to stay there a year. This is my plan. Virtually everybody in here has something like that. This is my plan. Here's the next step. Here's the stages. And what James says is, hey, you better be very careful, because whereas you don't know what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Anybody that has, you know, around life a little bit, if you've experienced some loss along the way, you know that life can be like a vapor. Our loved ones are just here, and then it's like they're gone, and life happens to us so fast. And what the Bible says, what James is trying to say here, is you don't know what you have tomorrow. I believe that God brought some of you here this morning just so he could say to you, get on with it. Stop making excuses. Asking for, give me your life now. So that's number one. If you want to walk by faith, you have to seize your spiritual opportunities. Number two, don't let the crowd quiet your faith. Choose to overcome your fears and doubts. Man, this is so important. And it's going to be big to someone here this morning. Don't let the crowd quiet your faith. Back to verse 48. So here's Bartimaeus lying there in a desperate situation, and he knew it. Odds are stacked. crowd is loud. The future is dark. He was blind, broke, and desperate, and he owned it. Anybody here been there? And Jesus comes by, and he calls out, Bartimaeus says, Jesus, have mercy on me, verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. When he shouted out, everyone around him told him, don't do that. Be quiet. Quiet down. Don't make a scene. Jesus isn't interested in you. He's got a lot more important things to do. And boy, let me tell you this. The devil whispers things like that to a lot of us. When that opportunity for faith comes into your heart, you hear this whisper, and maybe sometimes it feels like a shout. Hey, don't make a scene. What are people going to think? And those kinds of thoughts often keep us from having faith. When you see the need, that opportunity to change, the desire to be healed, all kinds of shouts come at you from inside and outside of us, and they tell us, don't rock the boat. People are going to think you're kind of radical. So what's this blind guy do? You got to love it, verse 48. He cried out the more, a great deal. It's double whammy. Listen, sometimes you got to be louder than your fear and louder than your critics. I heard somebody say, when faith gets loud, breakthrough gets close. Listen, don't let the crowd quiet your faith. Don't let the crowd's opinion silence your calling. Number three, when Jesus calls and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Verse 50, and he, casting away his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. You know, I always want to be careful. I never want to read too much into the text if it isn't there, but I also know that there is a reason why the text and the story specifically and intentionally notes that this guy casts away his garment. It's not in the other texts, but it's here. And Mark put it in here for a reason, and the Holy Spirit put it in here. And it might just be that this is symbolic, that like he didn't hesitate. Mark is kind of, you know, laughing about this a little bit. Like, he didn't stop to get his coat. He was so ready to come to Jesus. It might just be that. But likely, I think it might be a little bit more. That cloak, that garment, for a blind beggar like Bartimaeus, was very likely his main possession. It was his identification, his safety net. It was the one thing that he owned and depended on it for warmth and for protection. And throwing it away was like saying, I'm not coming back the same. You talk about a faith action. I don't need this old cover up. I'm not coming back the same. To reach out for what's eternal. You can't walk by faith and hold on to your security blanket at the same time. You guys with me? So for those of you here who are struggling with some doubts in your spiritual life, doubts about whether you should give your life to God, questions like, does God really love me after what I've done? What if I've fallen too far for God, or what if I've messed up too many times? Or what if I take this step and something happens and I just can't handle it spiritually? hey, maybe church people wouldn't understand if they knew the real me. Maybe I don't fit in at church. Doubts that come and sit and sometimes overwhelm us. Doubts about a step of obedience that God wants you to take. Doubts about whether you can trust God, about whether he knows what he's doing in your life. I mean, what if I take this step out and it doesn't work? What if I misheard God? I mean, I'm pretty comfortable now. What if this step changes everything? Listen, I understand that. God is asking you to do something greater than you've done before, different than you've ever done before. He might be asking you to depend on him in a way you never have before. Don't you think that that is going to feel a little bit scary? Of course it is. And in that moment, you have a choice. Am I going to fall back on my fear and stay on the side of the road the way that it was, or am I going to look forward with faith and step forward with faith? Here's lesson number four. If you want to walk by faith, you have to verbalize your faith. This is very important. Verse 51, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. It's interesting to me, why did Jesus ask this question? He walks over to a guy who's a blind beggar, sitting on the floor, on the ground, by the road, and asks, what would you like me to do for you? I mean, didn't he already know what the guy needed? Yeah. He was the Son of God. Couldn't he read his mind if he wanted to? Yeah. Obviously. Didn't he know what the guy's problem was? Absolutely. So then why would Jesus look at him and say, what do you want me to do for you? Well, the reason is, and actually, when we read through these stories of Jesus' encounters with people, you find him doing this very same thing over and over again to the paralyzed guy, to the person who couldn't hear. He continues to ask them, what do you want me to do for you? We'd look at the story and say, of course, he knows what it is. Why does he ask? The reason that he asks is that it allowed Bartimaeus to publicly announce his faith. And this is so important. When Bartimaeus said, I want you to heal me, he's saying, I believe who you are who you say you are. You're the Son of God. I believe that you have the power to change me. I believe that you can and you will change me. This was a statement of faith, and he was announcing it. He was proclaiming it publicly, and Jesus said this is really important. It's likely that there are some here this morning, and you've never made a pronouncement of your faith. And you know that right now, it's like God is like tapping on your heart, saying, that's you. There's never been a time in your life when you have said to God, Lord, I know that I need you in my life. My sin has kept me from experiencing a true relationship with you, and I need your forgiveness. It may be that God's been bringing you to this place for a long time. Different people in your life, different circumstances, different experiences. All of them like funneling to this morning when it could come clear. Some of you, you've already taken that first step of faith, but you've never really verbalized it. This morning, I think God is challenging you to go public with that faith. Tell somebody about it. Some of you, you need to take the step of baptism. Later this month, we'll have a couple people already who will be following Christ in believers' baptism. Listen, baptism doesn't save you. There's not some cleansing of sin that takes place in baptism. But it is a very important step of obedience for Christians. And it's important because it is publicly declaring, I am a follower of Jesus. I'm identifying with his people. You say, well, can't my faith just be a private thing? No, it can't. And here's the reason you need to tell everybody about it, because a secret faith is a shallow faith. If you're ready to get serious about God in your life, you're going to have to pronounce your faith. I am a follower of Jesus. I identify with these Christians. Here's the last, number five, faith follows after Jesus heals. Verse 52 says, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. That's the key. Immediately he received his sight and followed. Follow Jesus in the way. Here's how you can tell if Jesus opens your eyes or if you are still walking in blindness. Every person here, you can tell. If you get up and start following him. True faith isn't a one-time event. It's a lifelong walk. When Jesus opens your eyes, you don't stay sitting by the road. You get up out of the misery of your life and you get up and you follow him. That's the story of Bartimaeus. So here's the take-home truth. I got just one today. I'm going to invite Andrew. Andrew, if you can come up for the piano. Here's the take-home truth. Listen to this. You may not see everything clearly yet, but if you'll cry out, step out, and walk out. Anybody got an amen for that? I kind of like that. If you'll cry out, step out, and walk it out, Jesus will make sure that you end up on the road with him. That's a good story. That's a good lesson. Look back, verse 46. I don't know if you mark in your Bible, but in my Bible, I've got circled a phrase. Sat by the highway. That's and following Jesus in the way. So which of those two phrases describes your life? Sitting beside the road or following Jesus in the way? Which of those two lifestyles do you think is more fulfilling? Sitting by the road and meaning and satisfaction. Sitting by the road or following Jesus in the way? And which one do you want to represent your life? You're either sitting by the road or you are following Jesus in the way. Bartimaeus thought that it was just another day. Same place, same thing, another miserable day. But God gave him, listen to me, God gave him an unexpected opportunity that changed everything. The reason that you're sitting here right now is because God has given you the same chance for a fresh start. Don't miss it. Don't let the crowd just walk past and you stay sitting by the way. Don't let Jesus pass you by. Would you bow your heads with me? You know, in a very real sense, in this room today, Jesus is passing by your life right now. If you want a fresh start, If you want to start living by faith rather than by fear, the Bible says that today, not tomorrow, today is the day of salvation. So why don't you do something bold and dramatic and step out in faith and begin a fresh start with God, trusting Him. For some of you, trusting Him at a deeper level than ever before, with your time and your money, your relationships, your future. Time is short. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. There's not a better time than right now to take your next step of faith and make a fresh start now, while there's still time. I'm going to pray a prayer here. I don't always close like this, but I'm burdened this morning. I'm going to pray a prayer, and as I say this prayer, you can say in your heart, you can say, me too. Just kind of say, yes, me too. Dear God, I'd like a fresh start in life. Beginning this week, beginning today, beginning right now. You have allowed this very moment in my life so I could come in contact with you. Forgive me for the fears that have caused me to hold back, not trust you completely. Today, I want to receive your free gift of grace and forgiveness. I want to stop sitting on the side of the road, and I want to start following you down in the way. I don't want to be ashamed of you. I ask you to strengthen my faith. Thank you for dying for me. I'm ready now to take the next step of faith. I wonder if there'd be some this morning that would say, I prayed that prayer. Would you be bold enough to just lift your hand? I prayed that prayer. I'm no longer going to settle for secret faith, shallow faith. Just lift up your hand. Let me pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God, Father, give us the faith to take the next step in a fresh start with you. Thank you for those who boldly, without hesitation, or maybe some hesitation, but boldly anyway, raise their hand to say, I'm following you, I'm following Jesus. I pray, Lord, that that bold hand would not just be a one-time event in the middle of a church service. Would it be the start of a new journey? A journey of faith. Not ashamed of you and of their discipleship. And I pray that you'd continue to show us your way. I pray that we'd be a people of faith all across this room. Let Harvest Baptist Church and the people that make it. Would we be people that boldly proclaim that we're followers of you? And are not afraid to step out in faith when you call us. Thank you for leading us, for teaching us, for convicting us. And today we say yes. We agree with you about what you've taught us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.